is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Y'all see that good yawning this morning? I get that from the Spot Crew 242, Thought Catcher Presents, Uncle Sarah, Sakani Nash, Leah Enius, Artist Javan, Jason Evans, right? That's the crew. And it's August. See, this is spot time. I'm missing it. We used to be on stage this kind of time. We used to be burning with energy, angst and energy and a desire to make y'all, you know, laugh, right? And I'm missing it. So if you buck me in the road, cracking joke, or cutting a small movie, I just missing the stage. I just missing the stage. I want to say good morning to the security officer this morning that felt the need to snitch on me, taking a picture of a gentleman parked in the disabled parking spot without a disabled parking tag. Dear security officer, your job is not to snitch on me. Your job is to snitch on him. Like that's literally your job. The gang, you can't get in problems with the gangs because that's your job, soldier, is to tell your boy he can't park there. And so if you are afraid, if you are so afraid to tell the boy that he can't park there, but not afraid
to snitch
on me for documenting him parked there, you are in the wrong line of work. You are scary, and you don't need to be doing that type of work. That's not what security work. You have to have a degree of confidence about you that you can do your job, you know, and you ain't gonna have any problems. But that's okay because I needed that joke this morning. Like I told you, I am missing the spot desperately, and I've decided that if you want to give me free entertainment, I shall enjoy it. Just don't get mad if you catch me laughing at you. You told a joke, and I laughed, and that's how comedy goes. But what I am going to do is to remind us that emotional intelligence is doing what you know you ought to do when you know you ought to do it. To all of those people I saw on the road this morning driving as if you don't take life, death, or God seriously, please stop it. You share the road with thousands of other road users. Also, I want to point this out to y'all because I realize a lot of people don't understand it. You know when you see like a corporate vehicle, like when you see a BTC or a Batelco vehicle, or you see like an 18-wheeler, right? You see like a huge vehicle and posted somewhere on the vehicle, it says no riders, right? That means, first of all, the person driving the vehicle is on company time and they cannot pick up anybody that isn't authorized to be in that vehicle by the company. Sometimes you could be a co-worker on your way to work and that your colleague cannot pick you up because the vehicle says no riders. Do you know why that is? That's because any unauthorized individuals in the vehicle may possibly nullify the insurance policy if an accident happens. Something as simple as that. Let's talk about it. Your car may be insured to have 4 or 5 people in it. How do you know? How many seat belts do you have in your car? Your car, you can only be insured to carry the number of people in your car that you have seat belts for. So if you only have 4 seat belts in your car, that means you only insured to carry 4 people. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not sure how meticulous the insurance industry is here, but if you got 5 seat belt and 1 seat belt broken and you know it broken, that means you could only carry 4 people in your car. Emotional intelligence is doing what you know you supposed to do when you know you supposed to do it. See, yesterday, day before yesterday, I sent a shout out. I can send it out again to the 3 Score and 10 gang and the More Dollars and Cents gang. Y'all out here controlling these streets. Y'all out here carrying on bad. It's okay. It's okay. But I just need you to remember that to be the boss, you have to pay the cost. And the cost is doing what you know you're supposed to do when you know you're supposed to do it. As simple as that. You see, I believe in traffic modification because I don't believe in intruding in private spaces unnecessarily to correct behavior. I don't believe in going into communities heavy-handedly to force people to correct behavior. I don't believe in going into people's homes heavy-handedly to cause people to correct behavior. But on these public streets that we all share and that we all pay taxes to use, pedestrians, bicycle riders included, right? All of us are in a public space and we have an obligation to each other, and it is the best space in which we can begin to help people moderate their behavior. So remember, today is a day of doing what you know you ought to do when you know you ought to do it. Good morning to my guest in studio. Joining me today is Mr. Philip Davis Jr.
Top of the morning.
And a little later in the show, we're going to be talking about the importance of knowing how to swim, how to tread water, how to float, and basic water safety. But before we go there, producer is my guest in the Zoom room. Awesome. This morning we have guests from the Now Is the Time COVID-19 Vaccination Campaign. And we're going to jump, we're going to dive right into that conversation. Good morning, Ms. Royan Dean. One second. Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear anything.
Right. Oh, sorry, Ms. Johnson. Good morning, Ms. Johnson. How are you? Oh, Ms. Thompson.
Hey, Aaron. How are you? I'm doing well.
Hi, good morning. Sorry, we couldn't hear anything for a second there. Please introduce yourself again. Okay. I did a horrible job.
That's okay. Well, my name is Trevon Thompson. I have been a part of the Now Is the Time campaign. More less along the lines of administrating and launching the campaign, and more along the lines of being somebody who has been vaccinated and has just been sharing my story, how I feel about vaccination, and what factors I considered before I made the decision to become vaccinated. So a part of the campaign is just letting people know that, you know, this is kind of a personal choice. We're not forcing anybody to go one way or the other. That's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are just at a loss for information, at a loss for people to talk to about the issue. And so the campaign has tried to put out personal stories out there so that people can potentially see themselves in someone to play when people have made the decision for themselves. And also to put information out there that would help people to come to one decision or the other. And, you know, if you're going to become vaccinated, now would definitely be the time to do so.
Oh, boy. Ms. Thompson? Because I was just about to ask, you know, why is that? Why would now be the best time? We are going to have to pause for a moment and wait for Ms. Thompson to rejoin us. But I like the idea, right? The focus isn't on targeting people who are hesitant. It's about sharing as much information as possible so that people feel comfortable, and I imagine don't feel like they're being coerced into making a decision.
Correct. I was one of those
people. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, great. There you are. Glad you're back.
So sorry. No, you guys, go ahead.
Let's talk.
Conversation.
Yeah, I was about to add in my story, Ms. Thompson. I was exactly one of those people as well. I was hesitant at the beginning. All the stories about vaccinations not being good for you. So I had to reach out, my sister being a doctor and other doctors that I was able to have conversations with, because there wasn't really any like panels where people were giving you the information, mRNA and stuff like that, the differences between the sets of vaccinations. But in order for life to succeed and you move forward without the least amount of resistance, the vaccination was most helpful, hey?
Yeah, honestly, I think that was one of my biggest challenges. There's so much information out there that it can be difficult to tell what is information and what is misinformation, mm-hmm. because there are so many people saying so many things about so many things coming from all over the place.
Right, and even putting sort of disparate or differing information into context, right? Like sometimes it's not misinformation, but not being read or understood within the proper context, right, can be problematic as well.
Yeah, I can agree to that. One of my biggest challenges, I think, when I was trying to make the decision for myself was when the vaccines were initially released as what was called emergency use only vaccines. So in my mind, I meant, hey, unless you think this is something that is going to take your life, don't bother with this because we don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And the reality was that after I started to read, after I started to look at more credible sources as to what this really means, what kinds of pharmaceuticals have had this kind of stipulation in the past, where those pharmaceuticals are now, I started to realize that, you know, it wasn't necessarily something I had to be overly concerned with. Mm-hmm. I did kind of dilly-dally with the decision until the vaccines were fully approved, though. So I will say that I did kind of dilly-dally until the vaccines were fully approved. And that could have had a lot to do also with the fact that I ended up getting COVID before the vaccines were approved. So I did have to wait a bit to get myself through that. But, you know, the same company that approves all of the 50 million vaccines that, you know, I've had to take at birth, because that's how it feels, right? When you have kids and you got to take them every 10 seconds, it feels like, for vaccinations. Mm-hmm. Same company that has approved those vaccines, the ibuprofen you take, you know, just about every single pharmaceutical that we take in our day-to-day lives, that's who's approved the vaccine. So if I felt like if I was going to trust those people to test my Advil, then why am I now going to feel some type of way when they've approved something else? So that was kind of the line of thinking that I had when I had to overcome that particular information obstacle.
Okay. And I like that information obstacle. So one of the most successful strategies for culture shifting and behavior shifting is peer-to-peer counseling. Are there sort of peer-to-peer counseling or support group sessions that people can participate in to talk with people who have already sort of overcome hesitancy and taken the vaccine, and to talk with people who are sort of sitting in the same place that they are in terms of the decision? Okay. Yeah. So
yeah, within my circle, that's exactly how it was. I was the first out of my friends to get vaccinated. I still have some of my friends who aren't vaccinated now.
Right.
But I was able to encourage them just talking about traveling and business opportunities and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some partners and stuff don't want to be talking over Zoom or anything. They want to see you face to face. So you have to get that intangible asset, and the vaccine had to be the way to get it done. So some of my friends who were hesitant about it, and their parents even praised me for it and stuff too, I was able to get them signed up for it. Mm-hmm. We went straight to the clinic, got it done, and we were able to travel and get things done as well. So,
right. Yeah. For me, I tell people, listen, even if you are vehemently opposed to taking the vaccine yourself, understand that there are very valid reasons and viable reasons, and they should be valid from your perspective why people would be taking the vaccine. And one of those is that, hey, I am the main caregiver in my household, right? So I have both young dependents and maybe possibly elderly dependents, and I cannot risk getting sick. I cannot risk taking time off. I can't risk getting fired. And I just want to say to the audience, I think Ms. Thompson has dropped off the Zoom for moments. We're just waiting for her to sign back in. Ms. Thompson, if you could hear us out there in the ether, we're just waiting for you to sign back in.
It's good. I'm here now.
There you go. Bang, perfect. We called you right up. So I was just saying that, you know, there are people who have to, they may work in healthcare. They may work with geriatric care. They may be the main dependents of geriatric or ill people, people that maybe they're suffering from cancer or they have a chronic disease, and they're taking the vaccine to protect the people that they are responsible for, you know? And because there's a lot of vaccine, like, shaming, right? There's a lot of putting pressure on people. And it's important to know that even if you have decided to not take the vaccine, there are valid reasons why people are taking the vaccine. And let them do that without the guilt and the stigma and discrimination. That's okay. The next time...
She's there.
Oh, good, good.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. That's really important and a really valid point that you make, in that there are many reasons that people would choose to take the vaccine. But what's important is that your reason seems valid to you. So what encouraged me to go ahead and take that step and to make that choice may not be the same thing that is going to encourage you. You may be motivated by something completely different, and that's okay. Those who've made the decision to the contrary are doing what they feel is best for them, for the people that they care about. And, you know, no one can knock you for that. It's just a matter of you being as informed as you possibly can, so that when you make that decision, you make that decision based off of some principle that you feel is going to be put you in a better place, or put you in the best place that you possibly can be, and not just of, you know, out of fear or out of lack of information or anything along those lines.
Absolutely. I have a text here, and it's a bit of a harsh text, Ms. Thompson. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to respond. And and we sort of responded before I read the text, right? It says, Aaron, please tell both your guests to stop talking mess about these vaccinations. Many of us who choose not to be vaccinated is because we are well-informed, so no thanks, right? And I want to say to the text, listen, first of all, give people the same right that you have, right? Give them the right to access the information. Give them the right and, you know, to have access to opportunities to understand the information, and give them the right to make, you know, their decision in the same way that you are asking for people to give you the right to make the decision that you want to make. But I think that's important, not just for this particular, like, the COVID vaccination discussion, but it's important for all of the future discussions that we're going to have. We're having a discussion about monkeypox right now, you know? And it's important to create an environment where people can make healthy and safe decisions for themselves.
Yeah, I had the same sentiments of the texter as well. Even after my dad caught COVID and all of that, I did not want to get the vaccination. I did not want it. But as me being a swim instructor, it came down to the final hour, whereas that if I want to maintain my job or to be in the pool with these kids face-to-face, because you can't wear no mask or anything like that right. in the pool, I had to get the vaccine.
And it's for you, because children is carry germs, but they carry your business from home to school, and they carry germs.
They cough, and then tomorrow they straight.
Yeah, and look here. In fact, I wish we could weaponize them here. And let's get to the juvenile vaccination program. The government has talked over the last couple of weeks about the introduction of vaccinations, I think, for people 5 to 12. Mm-hmm. Where can parents go to get information? Like, is there a resource center? Is there a group of doctors? Is there an evening clinic that hosts parents who want more information? And do you have... sort of a resource group for young people, for the people who will actually be taking the vaccine so they could get a better understanding of the process?
I was bringing up earlier that there is planned a panel where people who have any sorts of questions about anything under the sun relating to this issue can ask directly to doctors, people who have been involved in you know, the COVID-19 pandemic in the country from inception.
Okay.
I will have that information passed on to you as to how people are able to people are able to get information on that. Unfortunately, I just don't have my director with me.
I understand. No problem.
I want to go from memory and give you the wrong thing. So yeah. If anything, you could provide that to your listeners a little bit later. But there are events planned that will have information for anybody who is seeking additional information or who has questions that they'd like to ask.
All right. And so I have 7,500 questions. Don't ever mind me. Is there anything more that you would like to share with us?
Right now, I think that my story is kind of out there quite a bit for anybody who wants to see it. Mm-hmm. I've been called by my colleagues as similar to the my parents were subsistence farmers kind of advertisement.
Oh, this is like awesome.
Every time they turn,
yeah, yeah.
They feel like every time they turn on their social media, they see me. So the story is out there. But okay. For me, my personal thing was myself. I'm asthmatic. I'm okay. At high risk for diabetes. Mm-hmm. I have a daughter that's asthmatic. And even though the vaccines, even now, there's no guarantee you're vaccinated, you're not going to get COVID-19. Mm-hmm. The vaccines are definitely going to help to limit the severity of the disease that you do get. And that was such an important thing to me because it just seems like COVID was such a gamble, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people get it and it's like nothing to them, it's a breeze. And then some people get it. I've had colleagues with, you know, collapsed lungs. I had a friend whose sister had COVID-related psychosis. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Right.
And so it just seemed like it was such a wide range and there was really no way for you to say where on that spectrum you would fall on.
Mm-hmm.
And that really didn't sit well with me. So I have two kids. Like I said, I have a daughter with asthma. The last thing we need to be is sitting in the hospital with collapsed lungs, or especially with COVID having been, especially in the beginning, something that attacks the respiratory system more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Those were some of the things that I really had to take into consideration when I wanted to decide what I wanted to do. You know, there's no 100% bulletproof vest that I could throw on and say I'll never get the virus. But unfortunately, I have to do what I feel I need to do to make the eventuality, if it does happen, minute as yes. possible. I guess that's the word I would use.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to be in the hospital for any extended period of time. Who's going to take care of my kids if I have to do that? You know, or who's going to pay my bills if I have to do that?
Yes.
So there's a lot of things that really come into play. God forbid I was to get COVID and then my daughter was to get, I just don't even want to think about that. Having a child get COVID and not knowing where on that spectrum your child is going to fall. Yeah, it's just not something I even want to risk. So if the vaccine gave me the opportunity to minimize any of the effects of COVID, if any of us were to catch it, then that was something that I felt was the best choice for me to make for myself and for my family.
Yes. And people should be able to empathize with that, right? People should be able to understand that. And so for me, it's important as a human rights advocate, right? My job is to create an environment where people can make healthier and safer decisions for themselves, not to tell people what to do with their lives. And I really appreciate the approach, the focus, the root of this, the core of this campaign, to create an environment where people can have access to as much information as possible without coercion, without judgment, in a respectful way and with authentic messaging to come to a decision on their own. Because the job of leading a family, people is one of the most important jobs you will ever have in your life. And the pressure, the tremendous amount of pressure that parents and guardians are under on a daily basis is overwhelming. And it is our job as community to make the job of parenting easier. Thank you so much, Ms. Thompson. Trevan Thompson, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being a COVID campaign ambassador.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Now is the time. 242.com. Find out more about the Now is the Time campaign at nowisthetime242.com. Have a wonderful day. We're going to a break. We will be right back. You're on the clock with Erin Green.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Bahamas, it's time for the third installment of Fish Fry Fridays, the hottest once-a-month after-work party, brought to you by Fassage, the Bahamas' number one party band, Star 106, and Margaritaville, downtown Nassau.
1, 2, 3, go!
Fish Fry Fridays has quickly become the talk of the town, and because of such a super large turnout the last time, the venue has been expanded to enhance your enjoyment experience.
I go drink water and mind my business.
It's a happy hour like no other. So on Friday, August 26th, after work, kick off your shoes and head over to the 12 Volt Bar at the beautiful Margaritaville Resort, downtown Nassau, and enjoy the Fish Fry Friday experience with the dynamic, energetic live sound of Visage and DJ AI. Admission is $25 and includes one free complimentary drink, or enjoy the tantalizing Vacation Cafe Buffet with full access to the event for only $55 per person. Tune in to Star 106 for more details. Fish Fry Fridays.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. I want to say a thank you again to Ms. Trevan Thompson, campaign ambassador for the Now is the Time COVID-19 vaccination campaign. And you can find out more information about the campaign at nowisthetime242.com. Joining me today is Mr. Phil Davis Jr. Good morning.
Top of the morning.
Now listen, I want to read a couple of these texts here. They may be a little rough, but You know, normally I bring you here to talk agriculture, right? Uh-huh. And if you look at the paper today and in yesterday's paper, the big headline in the Tribune, we're going green. Well, first of all, I've always been green. And I went to QC. And every uniform, every P uniform, everything was green all the time.
I was in AWAC. I was green, too.
Yeah. So I used to this. I'm ready for this. Government initiative launched to create 500 backyard farms and cut food bills. Now, this is exciting. But this is not the primary reason why I call you here this morning. So let me read these texts, and then we're going to get into this conversation, right? First text, great show as usual, Miss Green. You from Fox Hill, I from Fox Hill, but I don't hang around the park because I love my life question. What dumbness gone down yesterday to Fox Hill Day? Great show as usual, Miss Green. School is not open up for over 20 years because of hurricane in September. What is the chances of this September breaking the streak? Listen, I think it requires a shift, right? I like the second text more than I like the first text. Mm-hmm. I can be honest with you. We need to begin shifting the way that we do things as climate shifts, right? As climate changes. And this is sort of the lesson, is that you can't control nature.
Never.
What we can do is look to the other animals that live on this planet and take a hint, a clue from them. They adapt. As nature changes, they adapt to it, right? And so their text is going to thank you for saying that. That may be one of the most revolutionary policy changes we have in a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to change how we do school, right? Now, I know you're thinking, okay, we don't want children in the school in the summer because it's hot, and y'all don't really want to pay the money to AC up the place, and children deserve to be cool when they learn it. But maybe we need to start school later in the year and end later in the year. Or maybe we need to shift and have a pause during this peak hurricane season, right? My nephew's school in the States, the first time my sister told me, no, they have to go back home in June so that they could go back to school. I was shocked. I almost had a revolution. I almost gone over there and asked him how y'all could keep my nephew's Bahamian summertime. But their entire school system is different. They have more breaks throughout the year, I think, but they don't take a summer break. And maybe we really need to shift the way that we do school here. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think our conversation is also going to have a thread of that, right? We
Correct.
Need to shift the way that we do school. And so I've asked you to come and join me today to talk about the importance of swimming, of knowing how to swim, how to tread water and float, and basic water safety in response to the tragic, you know, it's just been a tragic season, summer season so far. So many deaths by drowning, so many young people dying in water-related incidents and drowning incidents. And then I realized that, you know, for an archipelago, for perhaps the largest archipelago in the region, in the hemisphere, we no longer have a water culture, an ocean culture.
Yeah, we're lacking.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be, mm-hmm. right? And so I want to have a conversation. I've invited you today because you are a certified swim coach.
That's correct.
And who best to talk to about these things, but people who have committed their lives to ensuring that young people know how to swim. Not just for sports, not just to exercise and stay healthy, but as a matter of survival.
Correct.
And then secondarily, as an access to business and economic opportunity, you know, by being able to master mm-hmm. the ocean, your home.
Yeah, I know all too well about these, the fears about the waters and being comfortable with the water. I'm a story that came complete full 180. I drowned when I was younger. I had to have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, pumps on the chest, inside the hospital, hooked up to the IV. That was completely me. And I can absolutely understand what's happening with these kids nowadays. You just want to have fun. In my situation when I was younger, my sisters were in a competitive swim club. Mm-hmm. And the coach allowed me and two other kids to sit down on the step. And we were in pretty much safe waters. But we were just trying to swim from the step to the lane rope and get back. So we'd crawl along the walls. We didn't know how to swim or nothing like that.
Yeah.
2 seconds. I'm underwater. Coach got called by another kid, had to come over, grab me out of the water, completely blue. I was lifeless, having to be brought back. And my parents, they didn't, I'm so glad that they didn't take the stance of, well, this child is, I'm terrified of the water now. We're not going to get him close to it. We're not going to make him go through that situation again. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
They threw me right back into swim lessons. I became a competitive swimmer, and now I'm a certified coach and lifeguard for the ocean and pool. So
wow,
I know
absolutely
the importance of every piece of it, not taking your eyes off of the kids, making sure they know everything that they can do in the water and all of that.
Look here, somebody called Mrs. Anne Marie Davis, come get this young man out of here. If I find another Tony McKay, somebody who come down on a lightning bolt, I gonna kidnap them and marry them. You drowned and was resuscitated, right? And you came
yes.
back to life.
Yes.
And you were able to sort of shake that off. Like, yeah. as a young boy, were you able to just shake it off? Or?
Oh, absolutely not. I still was afraid of the tubs and other things like that,
yeah.
putting my face under the water. So it took a skilled coach to be able to feed that confidence into me
yeah.
while showing me the safety aspects of being in the water and how to maneuver myself in the water. Because the water is not like the land. It's absolutely opposite. When
yeah.
you see these people drowning victims or people who are struggling in the water, the first thing that you normally see is the hands are out of the water.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that I teach people is you need your motors in the water.
Yeah.
So your hands and your feet are your motors that will keep you above water. So the second that you take your hands out of the water, you become like lead and you're going to sink.
Yeah.
So like I say, inside the water, it's opposite from the land. So if you want to be able to get out of the water or keep your head up, you actually have to push your hands down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting that force of the water going down towards your feet, or you're kicking your feet as well. So you propel yourself up. Same thing if you want to move forward in the water. You have to propel the water behind you. And one of the other first things that I teach kids, it's safer to be on your back than on your front. Because whilst you're on your back, as long as your chin isn't touching your chest, you'll be able to have your face out of the water.
Right.
And you can breathe whilst you're still moving. All
right. Right.
Certain little techniques.
Right. And so it's having the basic water skills and confidence, right?
Correct.
Listen, let's get to this call. And then when we get back from the call, I got some questions for the audience. You just segued right into it. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
What?
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm great. You're a student of Queens College, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so was I. You know, we learned, at least I could swim before I went. But we beginners learn with pads, you know, one something in the arms and then the legs and the like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had access.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but unlike, and you know, most people live in Nassau and they have no access. You see, they have
correct.
To go distance, and you know, unlike
mm-hmm.
the islands where they live close to the sea,
yeah.
and they have people around them. You know what I'm saying? That they can teach them how to swim in the in the sea. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, right. So what we need is access.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whether it's in the community, you know, like by community pools, you know, or investments in pools in the school, facilities in the school. And it's like that in every sport in this country. We have the poor people have no access.
That is correct.
Thank
this
you.
Is what we have to address. You see, and even if you say how they can go to the beach, do we have lifeguards at the beach?
No.
Right.
No.
So when that happens, what are we going to do? We're going to be proactive? Or what? We're going to be reactive?
Well, that's what we've been doing, reactive.
Exactly.
Thank you so
right.
much, caller.
Like the kids in what's the name of that place? Seabreeze. I lived in Seabreeze.
Yeah.
I mean, on the canal.
Yeah.
And I know. You understand? These kids don't have no access. And so easy
mm-hmm.
to drown out there. They could get the crumb. Who's going to save them?
Yeah,
thank you. Absolutely correct.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. And thank you for speaking up for the young people.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me throw out these questions to the audience and I let you respond. Yeah, so here's some of the questions I have for the audience. Please call in. Can you swim, tread water, or float? When was the first time you, quote, went in the water? Because a lot of us don't swim. We just go in the water. How did you learn how to swim? Were you frightened, excited, or calm? And then do all Family Island people come out of the womb knowing how to swim? Do you live or work around or in the water but cannot swim? And do you wear a swimsuit and swim trunks like the proper European people, or you just put on shirt and shorts and thing and go to the beach? And so those are some questions I'm throwing out there to the audience and to you as well, sir. But I know you wanted to respond to the caller.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to the caller. Bahamians do have access. It's just that it's different, different parameters when you're dealing with the ocean and the pool. For one, inside the ocean, the salt water, you're going to be more buoyant. So you're going to float a lot easier. The only issue is with the ocean is that you can't see the currents and the tides that are pulling from under. Mm-hmm. So the second that your feet are no longer in contact with the ground, you might even have a flotation device. But that current could absolutely pull you out. And like you were saying as well, you might pull up a cramp or something like that and somebody can't get to you. You have to be able to identify the waves and look at the top of the water. So if you see squared patterned waves coming in, that's cross currents under the water, and that even the strongest swimmer can't stay inside that.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to identify problems. Inside the pool, you're not going to be as buoyant. The flotation devices will help, but momentum is your best bet to get out of the water. As long as you're moving, it's just like being on a bike. It's easier to balance on the two wheels while you're moving than being stationary and keeping your feet on the pedal. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to put one foot down. Inside the water, as long as you have some type of propulsion or motion, you will be able to sustain yourself above the water.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I think we get to it. So another question for the audience, should swimming lessons, basic water safety be mandatory? The same way that we should have a mandatory PE, should swimming be mandatory on the school curriculum?
There's a concept that I have. If swimming is mandatory inside the schools, even if they don't have a pool, they could go down to South Beach Pools or the National Stadium, mm-hmm. and they can learn to swim. Now watch this program. If we are able to have confident swimmers and make it mandatory from, say, just grade 9 to grade 12, any public holiday that you have, if you have these government students and these kids on the beach, mm-hmm. and 80%, 90% of them are confident swimmers, and they know some form of CPR or life resuscitation or just any type of lifeguard skills, now you don't even have to hire lifeguards. You have numerous lifeguards on a beach willing and able to perform their duties right on the spot.
Absolutely. So I got some callers here. Now, producer, you let me know when we have to go to a break, hey? But let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Mr. Davis?
Hey, top of the morning.
Okay, I remember as a young boy a while back, we would go to summer camp at CI.
Uh-huh.
And we'd play basketball a couple of days, and then a couple of days we'd been to South Beach Pool to learn how to swim. I'm going to quite clearly, the bus took us to CI, to South Beach. Mm-hmm. That's how I learned to swim. And the floating is easy. What you comfortable? Easy to float.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, easy, easy. But and yesterday, right, I was just talking about driving. In Miami, they have a class called Driver's Ed. In the 12th grade, you learn how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And why they don't do it there? Why they don't have a driver's class? Every school have two or three cars teaching children how to drive, but they better drive.
Yeah.
So it should be a part of the school.
Definitely.
Yep.
Curriculum. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, caller.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much. So you guys went to the C.I. Gibson summer program together?
There were many, many camps like that. You go off and play a sport, and then the easiest way to cool down was to go in the water.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch back on one of the proper awarenesses of the pool and stuff, too. I know for sure you've seen it as well when these guys go to the beach. Yeah, they might not have board shorts. They might not want to put on the Speedos and stuff, but there is no way, if I'm not a competent swimmer, I'm going in the water in jeans and a shirt.
Yes, yeah.
that's
it's too much weight.
That's asking for problems.
Now listen, I went on the four-far field trip. If you went to QC in grade 10, you in biology, you went on the four-far field trip to Andrus,
mm-hmm.
and you went and learned about the agave that they're growing there and the mangroves
Sisal
and the thing,
kind
right?
Of thing, yeah.
Sisal, and then we went diving, and I was paired with the diving instructor because it was odd numbers, and we went through a hole in a little reef, and the guy I don't know if he was saying look back or don't look back, but he should have said don't look back. But look, I see this barracuda behind me, and he's like, come, quick. From that day on, I always go in the water with shoes on. If I don't have my proper water surf shoes, I wear a closed-back slipper. Because if I had to kick that barracuda in the face, I was kicking that barracuda in the face. Right? Because I'm acutely aware that that's the barracuda's home. Uh-huh. The barracuda's like, miss, look at you, you chunky, you come here to eat? No, sir, I can protect this. Come out the water. Anyway, and so wearing cargo shorts, that's what... So I appreciate the Caribbean sensibility, right? That we don't wear Speedos here mm-hmm. anymore. We don't do that. Man, them don't feel comfortable. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But your shorts can't be so big that you could collect water in the pockets.
I mean, it's the same thing with the swim pants as well, too.
Yeah.
If they have the multiple pockets, 6 and 8 pockets, those are going to hold in water and you can't move through. It's going to be like a parachute in the water.
All right, let's get to this next caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. How are you? Oh, good morning, caller. It's a bit scratchy. I can't hear you at all. We need you to hang up and call again. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Miss Green. How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, Sparky. How you do?
I'm good. Top of the day to your guests as well. Do you know that you could actually swim before you could walk?
That's correct.
Well, I have one question on here.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, no,
you can swim before a child can swim before he can walk.
That mm-hmm. is absolutely correct.
When I had my first daughter, there was a gentleman named Edmondo Moxie, Mother Pratt's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He used to give swimming lessons up to the old Montague Beach Hotel. We took our daughter up there the first day on our swimming lessons. He took our daughter.
Uh-huh.
Was 9 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't walk. Took her out, went out on the diving board.
Yeah.
We looking at him like, what the hell are you doing?
Uh-huh.
Hold my daughter by her two hands over her head and drop it in the deepest part of the pool.
Yep.
And we, what the hell going on with uh-huh. this
body? Don't say that on the radio, Sparky, but I got you.
But he watched her and she went down. She uh-huh. came up, she went down, and she was there with her head about the water like the gentleman said. All her feet and her arms were underneath the water.
Uh-huh.
And her head kept coming to the top, and she was holding it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he jumped in, and then he picked up, and he brought her over to the side of the pool.
Uh-huh.
She stood there shivering like she was going through hell. Put a towel around her. That was the end of his lesson.
That's right.
Yeah.
No longer than 10 minutes.
Later, she was swimming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we don't know that, you see. We just grab the children, take them out the side of the beach, and let them run in the sand while the parents sit underneath the tree.
Well, see, now, I ain't got no children, but I sympathize with the parents on this one. We know what that is. Parents go, they need to catch a rest, man. They need to catch a break.
Yeah, but you got your children out there, you know.
Yeah.
They're your children. You can take a break, and you don't know if you can swim, but you can let the children tread through the sand. You know what it is to try to run from where you are underneath uh-huh. the tree out to that water?
Yeah.
But
you can fall down a couple of times. That child can be drowning. You ain't going to reach there in time. But then on top of that, most women go in the store, buy these pretty bikini outfits, and they wrap a big towel over.
That's right, long sleeve shirt,
tights.
Why do they
buy
the pretty bikini and everything?
Okay.
And put a big blanket around them.
I can cut you, and then I can tell you, Sparky.
Sparky is absolutely correct. When a child is being born, what happens? The water breaks.
Right.
They come out of the water.
Okay. If I could have gotten a doula, if I could have put this together in time and gotten uh-huh. a doula, a midwife. To talk about that, because when there are water births, the babies are expelled from the womb into water, and that's where the term bubbler come from, you know. I know you all think you all Honda drivers got that, but that's where bubbler come from. They just pop out of the womb into the water, and they arrive, and they chilling. You could hand them a margarita,
mm-hmm.
the remote for the TV, and they would be happy.
Hey, listen here, Aaron. My youngest student right now currently is 18 months. My oldest one is in their 70s. And just like what Sparky is saying, at that 18 months, sometimes I get them a little bit younger than that. There's no real way that you're having a dialogue or telling the child what to do. But you're going to look at the child and see certain things. So I'm going to put them through certain tests inside the water. While the parent is there, I'm going to tell them, don't freak out. Your child may spit up some water, but I need to see their reactions to certain things.
Yeah.
So I'll hold the child in my hand, and one of the first things I do is I take them underwater.
Yeah.
And I'm asking the parent, look at your child's mouth. See if they pucker up their lips and close them and secure themselves when they go underwater. making sure that they're not taking in water or still screaming or whatnot.
Yeah.
I have those little children screaming, crying sometimes, and I'll do a three bob, and on the third bob, I'm going underwater. You better believe by that third bob, their mouths are closed. You don't hear any more crying.
They figured it out.
They know it's time to close my mouth.
All right. Yep. Okay, callers, we're running through the calls and the texts. I'm going to read some texts, and then we are going to end the show. And if I can entreat you, implore you, tie you to the dock, if you could stay a little longer, we could continue the conversation because we got some more questions about swimming and water safety. So here's the text. Oh, dear texter, that's such a personal question, and I can be honest with you. At the very least, I could give you the honesty. I'm not answering that question right now. Maybe privately I'd talk to you. Aaron, where are the lifeguards and traffic cops? Where? Why we can't prove anything in this country? Man, well, listen, you know how I feel about traffic enforcement. Properly resourcing the force so that they can provide that that job. Lifeguards, but D, how can you be an archipelago? How can you be a tourist nation selling sea sand and beach and only prioritize or mandate lifeguards for hotel properties? No, sir. We have to improve.
I mean, even if we don't learn to be a lifeguard, at least learn to do CPR.
Yeah.
So whilst the victim is out of the water, then you can take over.
Until the EMTs can get there. Another one. Good morning. I had to learn to swim at Camp COB. Now known as UB. What happened to these programs for the summer? That's right. UB has a pool as well. Absolutely. That's another option.
I know we had one at MacFit 360. It's already finished now. I'm the swim instructor down there. I know QC has some with Barracudas. I know Trevano McPhee. He's down by Evolve.
Right.
I mean, there's numerous places.
St. Anne's in the Fox Hill Community
Pool.
Exactly.
Blue Waves and stuff. There's no excuse. You can just reach out to anybody.
All right. Another text, I can blow bubbles underwater. I'm working on my weight and fitness, gearing up to the Senior Olympics. Will you keep swimming because I'm getting ready for the Senior Olympics too? Great show as usual. Tell your guests we don't go to the beach to swim. We go to profile. Dear Nakaz Gay, dear producer, we are at the end of the hour. I don't know if you could find that song. Maybe you could play it. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green. In the next hour, we're going to have Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry. I'm sitting in today, and we're going to continue this conversation because it's one of the most important in the country right now. Do you know how to swim? Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be back after the break.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.